Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show. Today, I'm really excited because I think that Mr. McKibben, we lovingly call Mike, might have let the miners come out for a break. I think they've been down there for about 3 months with not being able to come up to see their family or to eat. And it, you will, when you see what he and the miners have produced, it will blow your mind. What it's done for me, and I just particularly want to give a shout out, thanks to all the miners and the shafts.
Absolutely.
On the top of the earth, wherever you
are.
They're
still there, by the way.
And for you, Mr. McKibben, and all of your staff that pulled all this together, this is the most impressive assault against the Swiss government and against the World Economic Forum that I have ever seen. And especially the timeline that you did for Klaus Schwab in this would be considered of the highest order for anyone doing genealogical studies. I mean, there's more material on that about Klaus than Klaus knows. And I have never liked Klaus. So today we're going to talk about Klaus and his family and all of this stuff that you've discovered, which is just really another iceberg. And when people look at the World Economic Forum, they get a bad feeling, but that's the tip of the iceberg. Today, we're going to hear about the entire iceberg. So thanks for being on the show, Mike. How are you doing anyway?
Hey, it's really good to talk to you and glad you're back in the saddle.
Well, you know, I've been on vacation for so long, you know, I just decided I have to do something now. So when you sent this new report, it's staggering. But the discussions beforehand really led us into some amazing, crazy speculation based upon previous experience. And guess what? All that speculation turned out to be true. Whether it be the nuclear connection, the pharmaceutical connection, the vaccine experiments done in Ravensburg through the Schwab family, being Nazis, total Nazi collaborators. Also, they wanted to build a railroad to Switzerland. Why? Because Switzerland was completely collaborating with the Nazis. And the Schwab family is the perfect example of why that's true. So today we're going to hear those details, as well as your report's going to be coming out in full color, it looks like, from what you just showed me. Amazing pictures, as always. But I think that you and the miners have outdone yourself. So thank you so much. Really, the research is, I can't believe it continues on and continues to reveal deeper layers of what people think are conspiracies, when if you look into them and find the evidence, they're not conspiracies at all. So tell us about Klaus, Mike.
Well, you remember when we, it's about a year ago, when we first heard the name Perbright, the Perbright Institute, and then we learned that there's a place called Perbright, and then we discovered Baron Henry de Worms, and then that led into a whole discovery of the early pharmaceutical element of the Pilgrim Society. And it all started with looking at a location, which was Perbright. And in the case of Klaus Schwab, all roads are leading back to a town, a beautiful little town called Ravensburg in southern Germany, near the border with Liechtenstein and Switzerland. And as it's turning out, peeling away the layers of this onion, Ravensburg has played a major role and continues to play a major role in what is going on now with this Great Reset. And I'm going to not go into too much detail, Douglas. I'm going to let you kind of unpack this for us, and I'll be the color commentator, because there's a lot of content here. And I really do thank our researchers from all over the world who have been digging this up and putting this picture together, a picture that has been hidden. And that's another key piece of Klaus's resume. There's a lot out there about him. But what we've discovered that it's all propaganda, and it's like, what do they say about your resume? You only tell the good things. And that's certainly true with him. And the missing pieces are shouting at us to be known, so that we can realize what a total fraud this Great Reset, Fourth Industrial Revolution is.
I mean, just the detail that he got his master's degree from Harvard, where he hung out with and was brainwashed thoroughly by Henry Kissinger, and
and
who was the other one?
John Galbraith.
Galbraith, yes.
Kenneth Galbraith.
This is just, you find the little missing pieces and they tell you everything. And so we kept in our conversations, going to the edge of the research that you had done, and you'd say, well, oh Lord, are we going to find out this? And by golly, if you don't look close and you find out that, and it's 100 times worse than you ever thought. So let me frame this. Every time, whether with Wellcome Trust, Bill Gates Foundation, Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, but the Rothschilds usually hide their name behind 1,000 other names. All these supposed philanthropists, shall I dare put the name, the Clinton Foundation, in there? But anyway, they all end up on the list of philanthropists who are doing great things for everybody. And then you look into those foundations and you see they've never helped anybody, ever, never. Can't find a single person they ever helped except the owners of the foundations. But they're a philanthropic group, so they're tax-free, and no one would ever question them because they're working for the world good. The World Economic Forum, right there in its name. It's a forum, so it can't be any type of control mechanism. It's a forum. They have discussions. And it's world. Oh, well, world. We all want to be globalists. And economic, well, then that must be the smartest people in the world. So when you say World Economic Forum, what it is they also act as a foundation. So they take in money. They give out money. They have meetings. But they started off as the European Management Forum. In other words, they wanted to do what, like you have Otto Habsburg at the founding, but even before that, the Pan-European group had Albert Habsburg at its founding. I mean, they've always wanted to take over Europe completely, and they've tried and tried, and here we now find just the most blatant aggrandizement of a single family represented by, of course, Klaus Schwab, who supposedly is the leader and the brains behind the World Economic Forum, which supposedly are the 30,000 richest people in the world. Excuse me, 3,000. 3,000 richest people in the world get together for the World Economic Forum in Davos. And so you hear now you just used a word which almost every American will just go, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. As if they have any idea what that word means, reset. Klaus Schwab's reset is to put all robotics, nuclear, any type of energy, pharmaceutical, data management, any type of industry that's out there will simply go to the company that he's been, and his father and his family before him, Escher Weiss. And then he married into a family that the Stoll family that controls Sulzer, which is just as big as Escher Weiss. Now, we don't know these companies in America, but in Ravensburg, Germany, they were the industrialized aspect of the Nazi regime. And so the Schwab family was, in fact, complete collaborators, and they wanted to build a railroad to Switzerland because of the absolute swindling going on in Switzerland under the guise of neutrality, but it was really simply banks. It's about economics. And in a while, we'll talk about gold and the whole swindling of gold that goes on in Switzerland. But when you want to talk about globalism, where's it go to? It's going to go to Bern, Basel, Zurich. It's going to go to Geneva. It's going to go to the Swiss cities where you go, well, why is it there? Oh, because they've always been neutral. So it's neutral ground. No, folks, it's the controlling ground. That is right. Where it's been controlled. And now, unfortunately, the work of the miners, thanks a whole lot. I was getting ready to thank you. I used to say I never met a Brit I didn't like. But now, because of the research of the miners, I know some Brits I don't like. I've always said the Swiss are the nicest people in the world. I've been there many times. To Dornach, Switzerland, because of Rudolf Steiner's anthroposophy has a center there in Dornach, Switzerland, outside of Basel. So always say, it's the cleanest country in the world. It used to be no unemployment, not a speck of litter anywhere. Everyone is perfect, absolutely perfect. Everyone
they
is
have healthy. Good coffee.
They got the best of everything. Of course, it's expensive. And I never met a Swiss person I didn't really, really like. Unfortunately, now I'm going to have to turn the Swiss into what I'm going to call the Swiss swindlers, because that's what it is. The excuse of being a confederacy so that your cantons can do what they want has allowed Swiss neutrality to remain basically mob rule or a democracy. So when they were asked, do you want to join the war? Oh, no, we don't want to join the war. We want to hide and be collaborators with the Nazis, take gold from everywhere in the world and supposedly neutrally hold it in our country for them. We'll even take the stolen gold of the Nazis and hold it. And then later we will control it through the Bank for International Settlement. Now, why do I go into all of this? Because Klaus Schwab was not just a German. He became totally Swiss as can be, went into the military, went into the government. And when you talk about the first founding in 1971 of his organization, which became the World Economic Forum, it was a government agency. So he's a patsy. He's another one of these people that when you look at his biography, which is astounding with the research you presented, when you look at it, you just go, oh no, another groomed globalist who is working in many cases for the black monarchy and certainly bowing to the current monarchy, who is the Queen of England. And why? The Bank for International Settlement was founded by two banks, the Bank of England and the largest bank of Germany. So, and then 10 other countries got in on it, and then 60 other central banks got in on it, and then it became the biggest swindling bank fraudulent activity that anyone could even imagine.
Well, let's talk about when that started. That started as a result of the Marshall Plan. So these families, they took over the Marshall Plan and dictated the terms, and a group of corporations and banks decided that they were going to use that stolen gold from Japan and Switzerland, Germany, to back these companies. And that's clearly what's happened. Let me throw in a couple of key points here, because one of the things we've said before is that we can often tell as much about a person by what they don't talk about in their biography as what they do talk about. And one of the first things, and it's personal, but it's got plenty of implications. Klaus never talked about his mother in any of his bios, and you can't find it. People contacted the Ravensburg registrar, and they were unhelpful. And eventually, through two or three weeks of digging, discovered it through the back door. His mother was Jewish, and he was born in 1938. And he never talks about his mother. And in fact, in his latest book, which was just published, called Shareholder Capitalism, he actually claims that another person is his mother. And this person later married his father, Eugene Wilhelm Klaus Schwab. And we have seen no records of divorce. So it's possible that there was a polygamous relationship there. We don't know. He needs to clarify that. Only for the record, if nothing else. But what we've noticed is that, by the way, ancestry has been is often helpful, usually helpful, but in this case, ancestry was hiding his past as well. But they don't completely hide things, and we were able to get past that. But let me just go through a few things that, in his massive, voluminous PR pieces called his biographies, he conveniently leaves out. He did talk about Escher Weiss and that he went to work for Escher Weiss, and that's Escher, E-S-C-H-E-R, Weiss, W-Y-S-S. And there's a Swiss version and a German version, and essentially it's the same company. One of the things that he conveniently doesn't talk about is that in 1929, Escher Weiss began working with the German government to create heavy water, which is a key element in nuclear capabilities. And that was in 29, and his dad's company, in other words, his dad, he grew up into this nuclear program that was run out of his dad's company. And that's the first place he worked and pretty much the only place he worked. That's one thing, and that's not disclosed. And we discovered that, by the way, in Norwegian archives, because the plant, there's a movie about this place that developed this heavy water up in Norway. And that was his dad's company. And then we have Escher Weiss was nominated to be a National Socialist model company by Adolf Hitler in about 1937 or 38. Now that's important because that shows you the prominence of his family and this company, Escher Weiss, in the politics of Germany. And clearly for that kind of designation from and attention from Hitler, his dad was doing important things. Ravensburg happens to be the place where the Germans first practiced eugenics in 1933. In the Holocaust Museum, there are documents proving that. And then we have other documents that emerged out of, what was the source of this? The Swiss National Press Agency that Escher Weiss exploited slave labor and allied POWs in Ravensburg during the war. So his dad employed Jewish, Polish, Russian prisoners of war or labor, as well as prisoners of war in his company. So that was the company that Klaus grew up into. His company, the Escher Weiss Company, was the largest employer in Ravensburg at the time. And was also a hub for the Allies in moving the stolen Nazi gold out of Germany and into Switzerland and eventually into the Bank for International Settlements. There's this claim out there in the propaganda about Ravensburg that it wasn't an important issue and that's why it was never bombed, that it didn't make any weapons it's clearly fake propaganda made up, hoping no one would look. Well, our people looked, and we discovered documents in the National Archives in the United States in Washington that prove that Escher Weiss imported flamethrowers from Switzerland for the Nazi army. And that's just one reference we have found and confirmed. And then the biggest story is that Sulzer Escher Weiss, in other words, there was a time when Escher Weiss was bought, and this was actually Klaus helped facilitate this in 68, 69, 70, where they were bought by a Swiss company, 52% owner, called Sulzer AG or Sulzer GmbH. And Sulzer was another engineering company like Escher Weiss that was involved in the nuclear enrichment technology that Escher Weiss was using up in Norway. And lo and behold, we discover that after this merger of the two companies that Klaus facilitated and then immediately started the World Economic Forum, that company, Sulzer Escher Weiss, was supplying nuclear enrichment and bomb-making capabilities to apartheid South Africa. And now, I'm going to stop there for there's more right. information about that, but that's just astounding.
It is, because they were at the cutting edge of German technology and still are at the cutting edge of technology. And when you said that, then we said, well, okay, then their turbine engines had to be part of those nuclear plants that as well as the plants that did enrichment for uranium. And so you look into it, and I said before you did, then you're going to find out that they have, of course, already what we call in America, top secret nuclear clearance, because you have to work in one of those plants, and certainly to do the engineering for it or to create the turbines or whatever. So I mentioned, well, then, you know, they know the top secret that has been going on since the 60s, that all nuclear power plants actually could be completely eradicated and replaced with the startup engine that they use in many, many, many nuclear power plants, whether it be on land or sea, whether it be in aircraft carriers or submarines. So it's called a magnetohydrodynamic generator. So what did you do in your miners? You went and found
the patents that they hold, Esther Weiss holds for that technology in the U.S. government.
So there you go. From the beginning, they were working both sides of the war.
Yep.
And working out of Switzerland under neutrality, Swiss swindlers, working as neutrality, when in fact they had sold out to both sides. And then what did they do? In a while, we'll get into the gold. But they were holding the gold, they were manipulating the gold, and they were making all of the United Nations globalist organizations come to Switzerland because it's the only place that people are honest and good and true, and there's, you know, they're neutral, they've never been in wars and so on and so forth. All lies, we now know.
Remember a guy named Mark Rich?
Oh, yes.
That Bill Clinton pardoned on January 20th of 2001, when Bill Clinton left office. Mark Rich. Everybody was up in arms about it. There was a whole Senate or House, there was a Senate hearing on it. They produced like 1,200 pages of documents, which we have, and that discussed the outrage of giving this pardon to Mark Rich. Well, in CIA documents that CIA released within the last 10 years, we actually see proof that Mark Rich was essentially doing the work of sanction busting for these organizations, including Escher Weiss, and they were getting around the sanctions that we had placed on South Africa, and Mark Rich was facilitating that. So obviously Bill had a little secret that he didn't want to tell anybody. And none of that, by the way, shows up in the congressional record in any of the 1,200 pages.
The Clintons got their piece of every enriched piece of uranium throughout the world through the Clinton-Justra Sustainability Fund, but also through many other things that they did before that. What was it called? Megatons for megawatts. They were the beneficiaries of that. So, yes, the Clintons are as dirty as can be, and the dirtier you get, and whatever you're studying that's dirty, you will find Hillary Clinton as a little pig slopping around in the dirt, because she is as dirty as it can possibly ever get. Now, let's go back to what you said about Ravensburg. I just want to cover this one and get a little deeper into this. You know, the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute was doing experiments on humans way back. And so I guess when they got a place like Ravensburg that they were able to do experiments on Jews in any way they want. They openly experiment. If you were a Jew, you were fair game to be experimented on in Ravensburg. I then am going to assume that is it Siemens and IG Farben?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention that. Yeah, Siemens and Alice Chalmers here in this country were also involved in that South African technology with Escher Weiss.
And I assume that at Ravensburg, these German companies that were the cutting edge for their technology, which happened to be in a city that was doing the worst. I can only think of the Transvaal. I can only think of the British and the way that they used the Transvaal to experiment on humans outright, openly, under the guise of, you know, the excuse of war or whatever, militarization, whatever they wanted to use as an excuse. And then they were, you know, hands off. Nobody bombed Ravensburg. It was a major place that should have been bombed first, but it wasn't. And they wanted to be able to, the Schwab family wanted to be able to get on the train and do their dirty work in Ravensburg with the other industrialists who sold out to the Nazi regime, and then take the money and take the profits, take the patents, take the company across the border to Switzerland, and there set up basically their untouchable company, which no matter, look, to this very day, has anybody ever said a word about them being Nazi collaborators? Were they involved in the Nuremberg trial? They were creating the rockets for them. They were working on heavy water, the nuclear, everything. They were doing all of the evil. And that's correct. Going to suggest they probably created the gases used in the concentration camps. And here we have the Schwab family, or at least Karl Klaus, hiding the fact that he was married to a Jewess. That's and did she get experimented on? What happened to her? Anyway,
she left town after Klaus was born. She left and came to America. Mm-hmm. And she's disappeared from the radar screen. Her husband never talks about her. He never talks about her. His brother, by the way, we discovered who his brother is. And his brother in Brazilian visas at the time disclosed his real mother. But he never has. Yeah, in fact, he says somebody else is his mother.
A person who lies about their mother from the get-go and tries to hide their ancestry because it could have got them put into the very concentration camps that he probably was making the chemical. Not only the chemical and all the other experiments, but the Schwab family made a great deal of wealth off of being weavers and cloth and material, which means if you have ever followed the development of computers, that started all in that industry. It would have been absolutely impossible for the Schwab family not to know the IBM punch cards were used to keep track of the people who were put into the concentration camps during the Holocaust by the Nazis. In other words, it would have been another industry that was completely working for the Nazis for the kind of annihilation that the German imperialists, Kaiser Wilhelm Institute, in World War I, I mean, they did horrible experiments that you can't, I won't even go into. But in World War II, it became an industry. And I think what we're looking at is Ravensburg is the industry of the Holocaust. And at the
Well, I will point out that in the first meeting of the World Economic Forum in 71, the president of IBM International was one of the key speakers along with Otto Habsburg. So here we see that he's giving deference to those that really control him. And probably acknowledging also the underlying Kissinger British Pilgrim Society overlords as well, some were there and some weren't.
The Pan-European Union started, I think, in 1923 or in the 20s. And basically, they'd been trying to do what? Put Europe back together as one big group like it was when the Habsburgs had the Holy Roman Empire.
Right.
At least that, plus as much as they could take otherwise. So when they tried the first Pan-European Union, they got Albert of Habsburg, and it failed. And then there were other attempts to economically control the world. Also, there was the League of Nations, stillborn idea that the Americans would never accept because they weren't going to allow foreign countries to come in and tell Americans what to do after the war. The very countries we fought against are going to have the same veto power in the Security Council. Insanity, right? So now that's what we have? No, that's just theater. The United Nations is theater in America. But when it comes down to it, it is true that the World Bank is controlled out of Washington, but the World Trade Organization and most of the other groups are controlled out of Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And that's where it would go in a minute if we close down the United Nations building, which we should, because it is, in fact, anti-American. And when you say United Nations, you say globalism. But the worst form of globalism, the kind that leads to what I believe Klaus Schwab was. He is a hegemonist. He wants global control. Everything in the World Economic Forum points towards come to my company, Escher Weiss Sulzer, and it's got four other names. Come to one of my companies, and we're going to be the leading global cutting edge, and we will run everything for you. You don't need to worry about a thing. You guys can get your own world currency if you want. And of course, he promotes that through climate control, the climate accord will create a world currency out of carbon.
Well, let's talk about specifically the engineering that we're referring to when we talk about Schwab's family of companies. And here we have to add his wife, who he also married right after they formed the Economic Forum in 71. Her name is Hilda. And Hilda Stoll was her name. And so between those two families, the Stoll family and the Schwab family, and the family of companies that they control today, We're still compiling the data, but what we see is those companies have something like 300 subsidiaries. They have presences in about 250 to 300 locations around the world, including many places in the United States. They fly under the flag of companies with Festo in their name, or Festool, or Andritz AG, or Escher Weiss, or some of the names have changed, but basically it's the same people running it. And it's a family affair, both on the Schwab side, whose kids both are paid millions of dollars in World Economic Forum right now, or on the Stoll side, all of those children have also been involved with promoting those companies all over the world. So it's very much a dynasty of these German-Swiss families. And they appear to have been able to get any amount of funding they want. They claim today something like 30 to 40,000 employees around the world. And they are involved in specific types of technology. With Escher Weiss and Sulzer and Andritz, it's anything to do with turbines. And this could be from compressors to energy devices to nuclear to turbines. And on the Festo side, they are specializing right now in artificial intelligence and robotics. And so between the two, isn't it fascinating that in all of these priorities that Klaus is pushing forward in the World Economic Forum for the fourth great industrial revolution reset, all of his companies are going to make out like bandits as they collapse the world economies around their particular technologies. And so here we get another yawner of these oligarchs who believe that they're owed a living, and therefore they're going to lie, cheat, steal, whatever they've got to do to maintain power and to fool the rest of the world.
That's right. They get into every big industry there is, and the bigger it is, the more they're in it. I think you said that the turbines used at the Three Forges Dam in China, the largest dam ever built in history, which is failing, was done by them. I mean, they had the biggest projects in the whole world, and they have how many? 50,000 people working for the two combined groups. Basically, they're a nation unto themselves. And so really, what the World Economic Forum is attempting not just to take over European management, European control, it's world control. That's why it's the world. They changed from European to World Economic Forum. Change forum, no, it starts with F, but it's called fascism. So this is World Economic Fascism. Now, they're pushing the whole climate thing and all the fake science for carbon emissions, because that will replace the International Monetary Fund's special drawing rights, and they've already set up themselves. For instance, World Economic Forum actually makes a tremendous amount of money because they can take in money. They have, you know, foundations part as well as business parts. So Klaus makes his money, but he tries to look like he's a philanthropist. And, you know, this is just people getting together to talk. So is the Pilgrim Society dinners. Yeah, so was the Empire Press Union. People getting together to talk can be the brainwashing of the Council on Foreign Relations. It can be Chatham House rules. You can only act upon what you hear. You can't write it down, and you can't ever say who said it. That's the kind of nonsense going on at the World Economic
Forum. Well, I can see what's going on here. And for those that don't know, I'm an engineer myself. And so what I see Klaus doing is he's pushing this carbon credits mechanism as a way to drive the world economy toward his turbine technologies and toward his automation. Because if you're going to have fewer human beings running things, then you need to have robots. So that's the Festo engineering. If you want more efficient turbines, I think we don't even know the half of the technologies that these guys are suppressing right now. But I think what they're going to do, like, by the way, thorium reactors, like closed cycle various types of plasma reactors. I think they've probably got all that and they've had it. So they had to make a market. They had to figure out a way to make a market for it and force people to do it and then get the banks to fund them so that they could build all these new pieces of technology to help the world, you know, become more green. Well, I think that I think the jig is up. By the way, the turbine technology, the reason they were involved in South Africa, according to South African documents, was that they had developed for hundreds of years seals that go around the shafts on turbines. And they go back to gas turbines and steam turbines and developed quite an expertise in that particular field of engineering. And one of the areas of failure for a turbine is when the shaft is rotating around the bearings, you need to seal that shaft so that you don't get leakage of material back and forth through the shaft itself. And apparently, Escher Weiss had the market on that. And that was what they had to have on these compressors in South Africa, among other things. And so obviously Hitler thought it was a good thing. So he made him a model company so that they would keep serving him. And I need to add one of the things when you talk about the South African story that was a shocker to me, and I guess now it's not, is that the United States in 1965, the Department of Energy, is the one that set up South Africa in the nuclear business along with the British CIA and MI6. We set them up. We hired Escher Weiss. The rogue American government, the real shadow government, is the one that created Klaus Schwab. So we're fighting ourselves again.
And he has to have top secret nuclear clearance to do any of that. It has to be, it is a monopoly, and it is the standard way that we see the hidden government. They'd call it the deep state. We call it the shadow government, the senior executive
service. I call it the Pilgrim Society.
Well, they are controlled by the Pilgrim Society. All the big names all go back to the British imperialists. And yep. So who are they supporting there with? It was during apartheid. White supremacy, British imperialism, for heaven's sakes. I mean, it couldn't get any worse, and they want to give them the bomb to do what with it? Think of that. That's just insanity. And who did it? America, working with the Brits, working with
Wait, we're talking about Henry Kissinger. Didn't Henry Kissinger say you always have to have a good enemy? So he was going to create his enemies.
The clash of nations has to happen so that there can be world dominance by one world power, according to Henry Kissinger's theories. And that is exactly what was going on here. Now, let's go back to the World Economic Forum. I want to say some nasty things about them. First off, they're an overt Knight of Malta Club. They're an insider trading group of the richest people who are bankers and brokers. And by the way, that should be an oxymoron to say bankers, brokers. No, there should be two different people. If you're a broker and you're a banker, you already have insider trading information. Therefore, why should you be allowed to bet on the stock market when you already know how the money has flowed? That's right. Stupid. Okay, well, that's who these people are. These are the 3,000 richest people who have taken advantage of these systems. I call them economic predators, really. And they're perfect. It's a perfect Swiss swindling system where the Swiss come out, you wouldn't even know they were part of it. But in fact, they started it and they controlled Klaus when he was in the military, when he founded it. It probably set up his marriage so that it would be, you know, a good connection for the German-Swiss fascist. Now, shareholder capitalism, as he calls it, that is a new class system. That is a new caste system. And we ain't making it, folks. Those 3,000 and the people that stand behind them, what's called the deposed monarchy, sometimes called the black monarchy, like Otto von Habsburg or Albert Habsburg or any of these monarchs who still have tremendous wealth, but they don't have power. What do they want? Power. And so they want the one organization that controls everything. It's no longer about controlling Europe. It's about controlling the world. So we call it globalist economic fascist. That's what WEF stands for. And they say you will own nothing and you will be happy. That's because you're going to be in a caste system below them. Okay. And because you're in a caste system below them, you're going to be completely subjected to transhumanism. In other words, every machine that they can plant in you, every machine they can put around you to control and observe, surveil, target, and control you. Okay.
I sent you that brochure of this new robotic hand that Festo has created. It's absolutely impressive engineering, by the way. It's also frightening.
It's frightening. I looked at it. It's scary. It'll be able to pick fruit without squishing the fruit, and it'll be able to do surgery and so on and so forth beyond what a human hand can do. So the World Economic Forum, make absolutely clear in your mind, it is nothing more than another ism, like Bolshevism, Leninism, Marxism. Has any of those isms ever worked out? And so he flies under the new fourth industrial revolution. No, it is the Fourth Reich.
Yeah.
He is a German. He's carrying on the fascism of Hitler. It's self-aggrandizement through the companies that Mike has so clearly outlined in this research. And in fact, it is the Fourth Reich, and it's wants to establish the global new economy through it. But that would also include industry and everything that industry is doing. So in other words, patents, science, most of what we would call scientific advancements would all be controlled by this group. So then they need one other group, and that is the group to make sure that this the taxers, you have to have the tax collectors to go collect carbon taxes off everybody. For breathing, you will be charged a carbon tax. And so you have to have the tax collectors, and you have to have a new world religion. Now, the new world religion, strangely enough, folks, out of the House of Savoy, which ended up basically in, it's complicated. Let's just say that Juan Carlos and his son Felipe VI believe they're of the lineage of Jesus Christ. So do the Windsors in England. And so do the Habsburgs. And so who shows up at the founding of the World Economic Forum, which was called the European Economic Forum at the time, or Management Forum, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Otto von Habsburg, who one could say is a true, according to legend, in the Merovingian legend, which many question, but let's just follow that for a second. In the minds of these fanatics, they believe that they should be the ruler of the new world, the global world, through Jerusalem because they are the blood lineage of Jesus of Nazareth. Does that sound crazy?
Should we
put power in the hands of those people who believe they have the divine right of gods?
Isn't that exactly what our founders were trying to get away from? They had had enough of it. So they came here, and eventually, after the British started abusing them again, they separated. And I'm sure that the people in Europe decided, well, let's see how long it takes us to get them back. It's taken, 250, 300 years. But I think that the fact that Klaus picked Habsburg to be his keynote speaker at the first forum was sending a shot over the bow of the organization of the future. Because I think Habsburg was being looked upon as organizing some new Europe. He was the Pan-European Council. In fact, their flag is the new EU flag with a cross in the middle. Everything else is exactly the same. And so they were sending a signal to all the black monarchies and all the monarchs of Europe, you need to suck up and become a part of this. And we need to point out that Queen Elizabeth made Schwab a knight in 2006. And then in last year, they had a big event where Prince Charles came and spoke to the event. And it's so over the top. It's very syrupy, but clearly they were sending the signal. The new monarchs are back.
Yeah, and that this in this case, Otto represented the Swiss in the old Habsburg dynasty. Before that, the Hohenzollern, and before that, the Hohenstaufen dynasty, which ruled Europe under the Holy Roman Emperors for 800 years, was making their play. So this, now we can get into how the Jesuits play into this and how the Knights of Malta play into this, but as I said before, the World Economic Forum is nothing more than an exposed and highly propagandized Knights of Malta. It's the richest people in the world getting together for insider trading to try to control the world for the next coming year. It's as simple as that, okay? And they do it with impunity, and that's the disgusting part of it.
And oh, by the way, so that all of their companies' profits keep going up. Don't forget that.
That's right.
They're going to make it all work for their company. I mean, you think about it. 50,000 employees between Hilda and Klaus Schwab's companies. That's a lot of mouths to feed. That's a lot of people to take care of and keep happy. And so I think that what we're seeing here is nothing but insider trading, and they're covering it with flowery words about transgenderism, about carbon, about they're putting that little Greta Thunberg up everywhere and with her little righteous indignations. So it's all propaganda. Everything they talk about is just disgusting propaganda. And yet, because most people in Main Street are out there doing their job and not spending a lot of time listening to this, we don't realize how much these people have taken over our logic systems, our newspapers, and nothing that we read anymore is based on truth. It's all based on this insider trading system that intends to take power. And the White House right now.
Absolutely. And what we're seeing here is different isms. And these different isms, we've explained them. Most of them are fundamentalism, okay? But we've been harping on British imperialism, which I'll go to in a minute. But if you talk about, say, European, there's an ism that centers around Juan Carlos and Philip, the House of Savoy or the House of Bourbon, one and the same, that they are the leaders of the world. And that there was a group, I mean, they were the president, he was the president of 70 million people in the Organization of Ibero-American States for years and years and years until he got caught with corruption. Now his son is the head of it, the director of it. 700 million people take their direction from them as if they are the king of their nations. And these are Mediterranean nations, South American, Central American nations. And so they are loved and beloved because why they are considered to be this blood lineage of that of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as if he had had a child with someone, they usually say Mary Magdalene. And so, okay, Crazyville, right? So you got the Spanish version of it, you got the Habsburg version of it, but you also have the British version of it, and that's the part we've been hammering on. And so when I pointed out that the Bank for International Settlement, the Swiss controlling bank of the world, all central banks are controlled by the Bank for International Settlement. Who founded it? The Bank of England when it was still private, which means Rothschild, and the largest Dutch bank at the time, which was a state-owned bank. Okay, wait, weren't they enemies in World War I and II? How did that work out? But then they handled all the reconstruction funds after World War I. They handled remilitarization of the funds for Hitler, and they became the swindlers who held the gold for everybody but act like they're completely innocent and that they can be completely trusted. That sounds like a snake oil salesman. Mm-hmm. So if you look into it, here's what you're going to find out. First off, Switzerland is the home of dirty gold. And it's the home of hidden banking. For a while, they had banking numbers instead of names. So the IRS couldn't get you. So you simply had your Swiss numbered account. It was the joke. Everybody said, oh, you got your Swiss numbered account. Now it's simply offshore accounts. Who owns most of the offshore accounts in the land that they're on? Britain. Okay, so the Swiss got knocked out of that with the number banking accounts. So they went to dirty gold, and now they have Swiss numbered bullion accounts. And so there is the Zurich gold bullion holding vault probably holds more gold than all of the gold reserves of every country in the world, in my opinion, which isn't that much. But the point is, I believe that that's where the German and the Amashita gold is held, as well as all of the dirty gold, okay, all of it. Why? Because you can fly in an airplane. The airplane goes right over to this place. They unload it from the airplane directly into the vaults. And so, and then they number it so nobody can track it. Okay? So they've always been the home of dirty gold. Now, here's a little question for you. Why is it, when you look at the statistics, that Switzerland supposedly produces more gold than anyone in the world? 70%. Well, that's true. Because of the crazy idea I'm now going to tell you, which is almost impossible, that 70% of unrefined gold comes to Switzerland where it becomes refined. Hello. Then they're swindling the gold. They're skimming the gold. Hello? Does that take a genius to figure out? When 70% of the refined gold in the world come, basically in the whole West, comes through Switzerland. And then you say, well, oh my goodness, you know, that should be easy to find. Let's look at the gold reserves of Switzerland. Their gold reserves are 1,040 metric tons of gold. Eighth largest holder of gold in the world. Crazy, insane. How about the gold in the Zurich gold bullion vault? That will be more than certainly all the Swiss reserves. Okay. So what we're dealing here with is to this very day, they have been the culprits. They've been working with Britain from the get-go because they allow Britain and Germany to create the Bank for International Settlement. Then they allow the British Central Bank to join in and to be controlled by the Bank for International Settlement, which also controls a lot of the derivative clearance process. There's other companies that do it, but the Bank for International Settlement is the ultimate settling device for central banks. Why is it in Switzerland? And why is everything in Switzerland, from the fake CERN research, the largest scientific research in the world, goes to be poured into Switzerland for a collider that doesn't even exist? Okay? Why does the rogue CIA have their second headquarters, their Western headquarters, in Switzerland? Because they can get away with murder there. Everyone can act with impunity. And they call it, you know, the Zurich gnomes, you know, and they laugh about it. The Zurich gold gnomes or the Zurich bankers, and they laugh about it. No, these are some of the, and by the way, almost every major bank in Switzerland has been charged with astounding banking fraud, astounding bad banking practices. I think probably on the highest level of any country in the world. So why would we trust the place that skims the gold, holds the gold, hides the gold, and basically has dominance of the entire economic world without apparently having any control? And no real Swiss person can you name is an evil person in history or in any way, especially right now. I mean, can you name the Swiss person who's doing this right now? No.
Well, it looks like that the whole globalist system picked Switzerland to be the place where they would do all of their secret, dirty financial work, and also with certain specialty engineering capabilities, they picked that country to do that. I agree with you. It's a beautiful country. What we see here is almost a collective citizenry hidden agenda where it's common knowledge what they've done in Switzerland, but since nobody talks about it, they get away with it. And since nobody else is holding them accountable, they get away with it. And the fact that they slap this nuclear top secret label on everything they're doing since at least 1965, probably during the war and afterwards, because Switzerland was clearly where all the gold came. And that went right into the hands of Alan Dulles and Wild Bill Donovan and Edward Pauli and the group of CIA people that basically funded the Marshall Plan. And so Switzerland has been a useful tool and a willing tool to help this system create itself. And the fact that Otto Habsburg was at the first conference, I think was not just happenstance. It was symbolic. It was saying, we're going to create this new system. The Habsburgs are going to play. The Kissingers of the world, the Pilgrim Societies in Britain, are going to tell us what to do. We're going to do it, because in the process, all of you black nobles who've lost your monarchies, we're going to give you companies so that you can make all the money you want, and you're going to live the lifestyle you're used to. And we're going to get back to a system that you're going to recognize as a noblest type system of, like you say, the haves and the haves not. We're gonna let all the haves have what they want. And then the deal with the devil is you're going to do it our way. And Klaus Schwab is our man. We're going to invest all of our power and authority through Klaus Schwab. Now, why Klaus? I think that Klaus clearly has mother issues. I mean, his mom abandoned him within his first year of life. And that does something to people. I don't care who it is. I don't care how mature they are. And so it looks to me like Klaus has spent his whole lifetime to please his absent mother. And so he's trying to please all these royals, all these corporatists, and they know it. And I've seen this before, too, and I think you've seen it when I lived in Europe. People suck up to royalty. People suck up to nobility. And it's just something that the nobles know happens. And so what I see is a man who is sucking up to all the power centers of the world. And what they do with people like that is they go ahead and give them titles. They give them honors. They give them doctorates. I mean, his doctorates and professorships and credits are 3 miles long. And so they burden them down with all these honors so they won't go anywhere on them and won't betray them. And that's what we have with Klaus Schwab. His kids have stepped into the World Economic Forum. They have no practical interests, experience outside being around their parents. And they're now issuing directives and decrees for gender issues, for carbon credits, for Greta Thunberg type appeals, and it's just a lot of nonsense. And yet, because they have so much power and a voice and a megaphone, think how such immoral people can radically affect the morality of our social discourse by their immaturity, their dangerous immaturity. And that's what we're seeing now. He's turning it over to his kids.
Corporate dynasties. Wait till Alexander Soros takes over when the big George dies. Now, I just want to point out, thank you again for the research, because it's astounding. Klaus Schwab was someone I always disliked, the World Economic Forum. Every time I saw its name anywhere, I knew that it had to do with evil. But I want to make this perfectly clear. He is basically the new National Socialism, but it's global socialism. Under the guise of socialism, which will become communism, which is always led by a dictator who has created an ism. His reset, which everyone in the world now go, oh, yeah, we're entering the reset. They don't even know what it means. It's a word that has become brainwashed into our minds. And it's a simply basically saying the same thing as National Socialism, Leninism, Bolshevism. It's an ism where there's a new class system and a new caste system. And you will be given a universal basic income, and you won't need to work, because they're going to phase you out for transhumanism and for the robots that will then enrich those few elites at the top who are in the upper caste, the upper class. And so when you hear something like build back better, that's one of his phrases. And who uses it? Our current president. They're all brainwashed by the Klaus and right. The World Economic Forum.
Let me throw in a little factoid if people are not believing this. Most people know the story that Vladimir Lenin was put in a sealed train and sent through Germany all the way back to then St. Petersburg, where he started the Bolshevik Revolution. Well, we started looking at where he lived, and he lived in Zurich, near the library in Zurich. And get this, he was a 10-minute walk from the Escher Weiss manufacturing campus in Zurich. Now, you don't think he was sponsored by Escher Weiss? I am convinced he was.
Oh, absolutely. The British and the Swiss have always worked together. So when you talk about really corrupt banking, you have to put them hand in glove. They're one and the same. And then also because of Five Eyes and our agreement, their agreements with America, everything the Americans did is always given to the Swiss immediately. Oh, immediately, just handed to them because they're a neutral country. That's the insanity of how effective their propaganda is. So remember, the World Economic Forum is the Fourth Reich. Klaus Schwab is a creator of an ism. He's a creator of resetism, we can call it. And there's not going to be his type of reset because it resets into his new class system, which he's defined, which simply serve his industry and his self-aggrandizement. And actually, when you listen to him, as far as I can tell, he's not a smart guy. And we need to basically make it illegal for those 3,000 people to meet because it's insider trading. So thanks again for the research. When people see what you've done, it's going to blow their minds.